So today's message flows on from a sermon that I preached several weeks back, and you can download that off our website if you weren't here, and it's called Recovering from Failure. And in that message, I talked about how failure is a normal part of life and how we need to redefine what failure is. And you've not failed if you do not achieve your goals, but failure is about not having goals. And we discussed that you can only succeed by failing, and because in the failing you understand what works and doesn't work. And we talked about learning to fail fast. In other words, not staying there, but getting back into the game and trying again. And at the end of that message, we all determined, well, I hope we did, that we were no longer going to beat ourselves up about our past failures. We were going to let go of disappointment and get back up on our feet and get back in the game. And that we were going to draw a line under the sand or in the sand for 2017 and move healthily and purposefully into 2018. So this morning, this is really part two of that message, which is moving forward part. I want to give you some keys on how to move forward. And in that, I mean setting goals for your life. Now, please don't switch off if you're thinking, oh, if you don't like goal setting, don't switch off. Just hear me out. So the title of my message is Go Get Them. Or I actually had the Australian slang, go get them. And I hope to clearly demonstrate to you this morning that goal setting is a spiritual responsibility for all Christians. So we're going to go to chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. And we've been stuck in these scriptures now for, Pastor Nigel shared on these scriptures pretty much the whole of 2017. And I just love what Paul talks about, and you will know these, sorry. Oh, fantastic. It's on the screen as well if you haven't brought your Bibles. Chapter 3, verses 12. So Paul says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, okay? He's talking about the goal. Or that I've already received perfection. No one here's received perfection, I hope. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us upward to heaven. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learnt already. So my first point this morning is that goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. Did you know that God has goals for the universe? Did you know that he has goals for the planet, planet Earth? He has goals for this generation. He has goals for you. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus clearly had a 3.5-year goal. His goal was to go to the cross. Not all of us, thank God, don't have to have that kind of a goal. But that was his goal. And through his life, he was constantly saying, if you read the Gospels, Jesus would say things like, I need to now do this. I need to now go here. This is where I need to be. Jesus was very clear on what he needed to do and the goals in achieving that. And so Paul talks a lot about this. He says, I keep my eye focused on the prize in this translation. Other translations say goals. He says, that goal, my goal, the goal. So why is it important to have goals? Because goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. You see, those of you that are going, oh, I hate this kind of thing, don't be fooled. You will either go through life setting goals or other people will set them for you. Your life will be taken up by what other people want, or you'll be pushed into a culture that says this is what you need to do. And so unless you're very clear on setting goals, you're going to think back later in life and think, how on earth did I end up at this point? And so as your pastor, I don't want that for you. And so Paul clearly says in Philippians 3, those Christians who are spiritually mature, that's telling me that there are Christians that aren't spiritually mature. That there are people here, even in this room, where there's not a maturity about your faith. Because you're not seeing it as a spiritual responsibility. So what you're doing is that you are being tossed to and fro. You see, spiritually mature people set goals and they use their life as the gift that it is that God has given us. So we have a responsibility to use our lives well. And it's my prayer that every person here will grow to a place of spiritual maturity. Secondly, goals are a statement of faith. Often we can think that goal setting is something that happens out in the corporate world, you know, a Timothy Robbins kind of thing or a, you know, I don't know, 20 steps to do this. I mean, Facebook, you just, oh my gosh, if you follow 10 steps, you'll be a millionaire kind of thing. And there's a lot that's out there in the secular or the corporate world about goal setting. Well, look, that's great, but it's actually started here. It started here. And it's a statement of faith. What do I mean by that? You see, it's a spiritual habit. Goal setting is a spiritual habit. When you set a goal, you are saying, I believe that God wants me to achieve such and such by a certain time. That's a statement of faith. Because what goals will do is they'll stretch your faith. The bigger the goal, the more faith you require. If you don't have a goal, you don't need faith. If I'm going through life without goals, then I don't need any faith. And if I don't need any faith, then I am being unfaithful. And without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. So much so that it's actually, the Bible says, God says it's actually a sin. Wow. That's quite profound. It's actually a sin if we don't have faith. Now, what do I mean by that? I just want to qualify that because I've been in the church for 40 plus years, and back in the 80s, there was a hyper faith movement. If you had cancer and you died of cancer, well, people wrongly perceived that was because you didn't have enough faith. No, no, that's weird. What God is saying is if you don't have things, you need a God. God is bigger than us. We've already discussed that this morning. God created the heavens and the earth. He's bigger than us. And so what God wants to do is God wants to walk alongside you and I and put some of that into you. He wants you in our little minds that we can't think bigger. I can't imagine creating the heavens and the earth. That's too much for me to comprehend. But God wants to deposit some of that into you. He wants some of that bigness on the inside of you. He only asks you to do one thing. He wants you to think bigger. He'll walk alongside you and help you, but he needs you to be thinking bigger. And the way that we do that is that's how we come alongside God, and we've got to start setting a goal. There are people in this church that you want a house. You want a house. I can tell you, you can get that house. Because again, I'm fortunate enough to know from experience, having walked with people for a long period of time, you can get that. But we go, oh no, I couldn't do that. And what God wants us to do, you see, that is then what you're saying is that your perception of God is too small. You're saying, my God can't do that. That's actually a sin. You're not believing, you're not actually believing this. You're not believing it. And this is what we all do. You see, what we do is we read this and then we intellectualize it. What do I mean by that? I've shared this many times in the past. What we do is we read it and we go, oh no, but I couldn't have that. Oh no, but you don't understand, Andrea, my childhood. Oh, but Andrew, no, but no. And so what we do is we disqualify what God says. So you disempower yourself. What we need to do is we need to change our view of God. We need to see that God is bigger. And we're going to talk about that today. So it's a statement of faith. Here's a goal-stretching verse from the Message Bible in Ephesians 3 verse 20. God can do anything. God can do anything. God can do anything. Not something. Anything. God can do anything. Far more. How much? Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or dare to request in your wildest dreams. That's saying that our thinking is too small and the way that we've been wired is too small. But God can do anything. What's the biggest thing you're dreaming of for your life today? At the end of last year, as I was looking into this new year, I have a journal and I journal every day, and it's not a dear diary kind of thing. It's I like to get a scripture and I like to meditate on that scripture and I like to apply it to my life. But as I was journaling this day, I really, really wanted to write down the longings of my heart, those deepest, darkest longings, the things that I dream about and want more than anything else in the world. And you know me, if you get me, you get the whole package, so you get to hear all that kind of stuff. You know, one of those things was a family member being completely healed of a medical condition. My son getting a full-time job. They were the things I went through, and I listed five things, and I won't list all of them today, but you get where I'm coming from. And as I was looking at this list and I was in prayerful reflection, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "Do you believe I can do these things?" And I said, "Yes, I do. I believe you can." But it was at that moment I really looked at the list. And I felt that inner voice of the Holy Spirit saying to me, "These are so easy for me. If anything, too easy. You should be asking for bigger things." At that moment, I felt God deposit the substance of faith into my heart. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's a substance. I call it spiritual yeast. You feel full on the inside. You know that you know that you know. I just know that God can do it. I just know that. You could stand here and you could argue with me all day and I would go, "I'm sorry, but I just know." I don't know when, but I know that He can and He will. The biggest thing that you are dreaming of today, God can do far more than that. Far more. Far more. The greatest challenges we are facing are nothing to God. As this scripture says, He can do anything. We just need to believe that He can. And that's where we fall down, church. As I said, we intellectualize it or we argue our way out of it. "Oh, but Andrea, other people haven't been healed of that condition. Oh, but Andrea, the economic times aren't great." That can be our confession. We can go around and go, "Oh God, well, I can't believe you that one of my kids can be healed because I know X who's had it for 20 years. Or I know that my son won't get a job at the moment because of the economic climate." We can go around and say that. Now, I'm not saying we don't be pragmatic about it, because that's that weird faith where people just get a bit weird. What I'm saying is it's a substance. So what we're saying is, well, God, you say you can do far more. So what would I rather speak out over my life? What would you rather speak out over your life? That my child has no possibility? That my child is going to live with a life of pain? Or would you rather grab onto the substance of faith and say, "Oh my gosh, God, I don't know how you can do it. My mind can't comprehend how you can do it. But your word says, you said," and I hold God to account. I say, "Your word, you say that it cannot return to you void." So I say, "God, you say that you can do far more than what I can imagine." So I'm going to just keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. This church is in existence because of that. Because of that. Pastor Naj and I came down with a 9-month-old baby and a few other people. Pastor Charlie and Helen moved up from Albany, and Dom and his family came down, and we were just a group of people. But God had already shown me years before that we would be in a converted warehouse. Where are we today? In a converted warehouse. We can either dream, actually not dream, or we can choose to dream and see where God takes us on that journey. My prayer is that no excuses in 2018, guys. No excuses. Let's dream bigger. And the good news is that dreaming doesn't cost you anything. You can do it for free. It's free. People say the church doesn't give you anything. Oh, we give you everything. You get to dream for free. But look, there's a few things that we do. We overestimate what we can achieve in a year, and we underestimate what we need to achieve in a decade. So rather than setting small goals that can be achieved in a year, and they're good, don't misunderstand me, they should be the way to get us onto the path to bigger things. Don't be afraid to dream bigger. Dream 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Pastor Nigel outlaid a 10-year goal to have 3 campuses in Perth. We have 2, Fremantle, Wellard. We've only got 1 to go. Ha-ha! Ha-ha! It's not hard. It's not hard. I want more churches in Africa. Yes. We're planning another school in Kakata in the next 1 to 2 years. Aren't we, Barry? Just checking. Barry runs the missions department. I want a port care lunch every day of the week, not just Fridays. Come on. And Pastor Nigel's going to share in a few weeks the goals that we want to achieve as a church in 2018. Now, listen, you can listen to the naysayers who will say to you, well, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Wrong question. Who do we think God is? Come on. Who do we think God is? As I said to you, I would rather that there are 500 people that are a part of Fremantle or Wellard getting out there and giving it a go and failing than sitting here keeping it comfortable, playing it safe, or procrastinating and never doing anything. So look, the difference between a goal and a dream is you put a deadline on it, okay? If you don't have a deadline, it's just a dream. There's nothing wrong with dreams, okay? There are some things in my heart I physically cannot see happen. They just are out of my control. But we can do things. If you're, for example, if your dream is to see your husband in church or a kid back in church, and that's a dream of yours, you can actually measure it. The way that you can do that is say, well, you know what? I'm going to pray for my kids. I'm going to pray. For 2018, I'm going to pray. Every day, I'm going to pray. That's something that you can do. I do that for one of my kids who's not well. I do that every day. I've given a commitment. I said, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to say, Lord, I know you've got it in control, but I'm just going to remind you. So I want to ask you a question. Will this require me to have faith, these goals of yours? Matthew 9:29, I love this scripture. I love it. I've got it stuck everywhere. According to your faith, it will be done. Ouch. Hang on. Let's just unpack that. This is what Jesus said. You get to choose how much God blesses your life. Did you know that? You get to choose how much he transforms your life. You see, great faith, great transformation. You get to choose. If you never pray, nothing will happen. Your choice. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. It's up to you. You have the key. Jesus says that he gave us the keys of the kingdom. He gave them to us. It's our choice. So will this require me to have faith? With this goal, am I going out on a limb? Think about it. Where's the fruit? I've got a lemon tree at the moment at home. Where's the fruit? The fruit's on the limb, on the end. What does that mean I have to do? It means I have to stretch to get it. Am I going to go out on a limb? I believe 2018 is going to require us to stretch as a church. Thirdly, goals focus our energies. They keep you from wasting time, money, and energy. Focus is the key to an effective life. Paul doesn't say, oh, these 50 things that I'm doing. He says this one thing, this one thing, this one thing. See, the world is full of distractions. Who has a mobile phone? Who doesn't own a mobile phone? Okay, so you get at that point. Moving on. Lots of distractions. You don't have time to do everything. God doesn't expect you to do everything. You only have time to do a few things really well. Ask God what they're going to be. Young people, if you're in high school or coming into university, you want to know what those things are. You want to be asking God, because really life is going to just whiz by. I got to the point about 5 years ago where I'd become mentally, emotionally and physically exhausted, and it took about 2 years to come back to a place of full recovery. That period of time was the best and the worst of my life. Anyone ever had a best and worst experience? It allowed me to address a lot of dysfunction that I was unaware that I had. Again, don't we all not know that we've got all that dysfunction? But the great thing was I became close to God as a result of it. Who knows that when you fall off a cliff, we do one of two things. We either cling to God or we push him away. I'm so glad that I clung to him because he doesn't disappoint. When I went back to normal, don't laugh, but back to normal, Andrea, I felt the Lord clearly speak to me about what I should be doing, because I knew I'd got myself to that place, and I really wanted God being a part of what did the next 20 years look like for me. I felt the Lord clearly speak to me about what I should do. And I know without a doubt what that now looks like, but that has meant that there are so many things I no longer do, or wonderful opportunities I choose not to do, because I focus on that one thing, if you like, what Jesus wants me to do. So again, what does that look like for you? What does Jesus want you to do? Again, this fabulous scripture I love in 1 Corinthians 9:26 says, "So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step." I run straight to the goal. You just know that you know where you're going with your life. Some of us are running without a goal, and as a result, we're running literally around in circles. People grab the next fad because they think that'll satisfy. But often there's no purpose to that. You were designed for purpose. Ask yourself the question, what do I want? What do I want from my life? A lot of people don't ask that question. They think they know, but they don't actually really analyze it. Jesus, many times in the Gospels, when a person would come to Jesus for healing, he would ask him this really weird question. You could really figure out what their problem was. They were blind or had some disability. And Jesus would go, "What do you want? Isn't it obvious? I want my sight." He would ask them what they want. You see, we often think we know what we want, but we don't know what we want. You need to figure out what is it you want. I did this exercise many years ago. I've always been enamored with the scripture where Jesus says, "What does it profit a person if they gain the whole world but lose their soul?" I've always been very fascinated about that, especially in our Western context, because everyone's trying to gain the whole world. And I really sat down many years ago and actually thought this through, and I thought, what is it that at the end of my life I could look back on, and what would it be, the things that I want? For me, it was ending the journey with a sweet spirit. I have come across people in their journey, and you would know them, that they're grumpy, cynical old people. I didn't want to be that. My grandparents were my greatest role models. They loved Jesus until their 90s, and they died loving God, and they had been through terrible times, world wars, depressions, you name it, but they just were sweet. That was a goal for me. That is actually, I actually measure that and actually work towards that in my life. Another one was that I wanted to impart Christian values into my children. Even though that when they became adults, they would need to make that choice for themselves. That was my goal. So that meant that I needed to prioritize as a parent that I would be in the house of God, because I decided that if I was going to raise them, they were going to definitely be dysfunctional. And that, some of you just got that. And so I decided that what my mistakes God could make up for, if they had a relationship and loved Jesus, then I decided that that would be better for them than taking them to soccer on a Sunday. I'm sorry. So I decided that that's what I'd do. And then when they became adults, that would be their choice. A part of that for me also has been I love working. I love it. I absolutely could work 7 days a week, 25 hours a day. But for me, I just do, I love working. And so for me, though, to raise those children and to have a stable marriage meant that I made the choice of only ever working part-time. Now, look, I'm not putting this on people. If you have to work full-time, if you want to do soccer on a Sunday, your choices. But these were my choices. And so I decided that I didn't want the world. I wanted these things. These are the things that I have set my heart to and my course to. So for me, I've only ever worked part-time because I wanted to be there after school for my kids and different things. Now, I need to qualify by saying that I was the last parent in the car park to pick them up from school. But those kinds of things, and I get it. I get it if you need to work and all those things. But you need to decide, what do you want? What do you want? And then you work towards those goals. And over the coming weeks and months, we are going to revisit this. I want to help you with this. And just check in and see how you're getting on and what skills we can develop together. 4, goals keep me going. They give me hope to keep going, to persist. Rick Warren, who I listen to a lot of his podcasts, he says, if you're going through hell, don't stop there. If you have a goal, when you are going through hell, it'll keep you going. Because you know that's not your destination. If it's life's pretty bad at the moment, you know that's not where you're stopping. If your business is struggling at the moment, this is not where you're stopping. If you're out of work at the moment and you've got a dream to get a house, that's where you're going. You don't stop there. If you're having a wobbly time in your marriage or your relationship, you don't stop, you keep going. Nigel and I have made a commitment that we're going to end married together. I can tell you there's many times we've been walking through hell. But we keep going. You keep going because you've got a goal. My goal one day is hopefully to be a grandma. And then give them back, Sandy, who just had another grandbaby. Congratulations. You got to keep going. And if you don't have goals, you won't have hope. And if you don't have hope, you won't get out of bed in the morning. Job said this so well in Job 6:11. He said, I do not have the strength to endure. I do not have a goal that encourages me to carry on. You've got to have a goal to keep going. And when you have a long-term goal, it will keep you going through the short-term setbacks. Everybody has setbacks. Everybody makes mistakes. 5-year plans are awesome, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way and there are times where we fail. We have to have them to keep going. So a goal doesn't have to be big to motivate you. For example, I had a bad fall last year and cracked some ribs. Oh my gosh, if you've ever had cracked ribs, bless you. It's so painful. It took months to recover. And when I was sufficiently recovered, I wanted to start running again. And fortunately, I was given a third-hand treadmill from a family member to a family member to a family to me. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Instead of running on bitumen, which is quite hard on your back, I'll start back on the treadmill. Well, I couldn't believe how unfit I'd become so quickly. And so my goal was just to start with 5 minutes running a day and the rest walking on the treadmill and building up to my desired running time just before Christmas. Well, I reached my running goal just before Christmas and I am so proud of myself. I am proud of myself. But you see, the men in my house, they mock me because they go, we do that already. We start with that. I go, I don't care. I've got a goal. I can tell you, when I first started on the treadmill, if the neighbours could have heard me, because it's out in our garage and I have the roller door up, if the neighbours could have heard me or a passerby, they would have rung triple O because they would have thought I was having a heart attack. I was like, do you know what? You do not get on a treadmill and start running at a high speed for long distances if you're unfit. You set small goals and you achieve them. If you've got goals today, and it could be something just out there, I say set small goals. If you want to buy a house today, well then start saving. That's a good place. It's not a giant leap. It can be many more steps. In conclusion, you may be really discouraged today because life isn't where you want it to be. Set some new goals. It's not over. But listen, if you can set goals and achieve them on your own, but if you want those goals I've been talking about that will exceed your expectations, that will blow your mind, that you need God involved in, then you've got to ask yourself these three questions. Firstly, one, will it honor God? What kind of goal brings glory to God? Any goal that requires you to trust Him more, depend on Him more, love other people more, to be unselfish, more caring, the right motives. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 says, we make it our goal to honor God. This is not some narcissistic God sitting in heaven going, it's all about me, it's all about me. No, but what God does is, see, our heart tells us a lot. The things that we want tell God a lot about who we are. We can try and trick Him, but He knows. So it's not about, but if you're doing goals that honour God, they are goals that are just good for you and good for other people. Secondly, is it motivated by love? 1 Corinthians 16, 14, do everything in love. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, follow the way of love. God is not going to bless a goal that's motivated by greed or competition or envy or guilt or grudges or worry or fear or anxiety or ego or pride or materialism. But if it's motivated by love, if you want to get a house and say, I just want to open it up, I want to get a car so I can drop people off, so I can come to church, what is it? Is it motivated by love? If you set loveless goals, you will treat people like commodities. It's what you can get out of them. I hate that word networking for that reason. Now, I know that we need, you know, people do that and that's a part of it, but basically it's like, I mean, I've walked into rooms where people don't want to talk to me because of the size of my church. Ouch. I've walked into situations I, on occasions, get invited to be with other people and CEOs of different organisations, and if, you know, they don't want to know me because they need to get over there to see that person that's going to help them. Don't do that. Do you not think that God can find a shepherd boy on a hill and make him the king of a nation? You don't think He can find you? You be motivated by love, and I can tell you that doors will open. Doors will open and people will go. Who do they think they are? Wrong question. Who is your God? Don't run over people to get what you want. Thirdly, will your goal require depending on God? Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. If you don't have a goal that is, if you have a goal that is so small, you don't need God. Proverbs 16, 9 from the Message Bible says, you get to plan the way you want to live. But the Bible says that God gives us the power, the energy, and the ability to make it happen. So three things you must have to reach your goal. Firstly, Zechariah 4, 6, God's Spirit to empower you. It's not your might, it's not your strength, it's God's Spirit. As I said, these are goals that we are setting that you can't do on your own. These are goals that are going to blow your mind. Greg and Caroline, I want you to think of bigger goals. See, it's the Spirit of God that will empower you. He will give you ideas that are so out of the box, you'll be going, this has to be God. I'm not smart enough to think it. Secondly, you need God's Word to guide you. God's Word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. If you don't, you'll be chasing the wrong things. Get God's Word. If you've got major business decisions, you should be in Proverbs every single day. They are the wisest saying of the wisest man in all the world. Start there. And thirdly, you need God's people to support you. Join a connect group. You need people around you that are going to believe in you. There are enough people out there that are going to tear you down for your dreams and your goals. You need people in this room that are going to go, give it a go. Give it a go. You need me in your world to say, go out and give it a go, and I'll tell you, if you fail, you're not going to hear it from me. I'm going to just pat you on the back. I'm going to pull you up and say, right, get off, get on your way. Give it another go. That's who you need around you. But here's a disclaimer. Because I can tell you again, and I could spend hours telling you of the stories of marriages that have come back together, of babies that have been born, of husbands or wives that people have married, of houses, of all these different things, of people getting healed, of amazing, incurable diseases. But how will you respond when you get what you want? In the Bible, there's a story of 10 lepers. They said to Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want? We want to be healed. Jesus said, go to the temple, go to the church and give praise. Only one came back and said, thank you. Again, this is me sharing my heart. I have seen year after year after year, stood with you, prayed with you, believed with you. I've seen babies born that have been impossible to have. I've seen people get homes that they could never dream of. I've seen people say the most amazing things and they're not here in the house of God today. And I say, where are you? Where are you? They go, oh, Pastor, I'm too busy now. I got my house. I want to pay off the mortgage. I'm too busy to come to church. These are true stories. I've heard people that have been praying for permanent residency. They get that permanent residency and they go, I'm too busy. I'm now working 3 jobs, Andrea. I can't come into the house and give praise to my God for the dream that he gave me. Or the baby of a woman I bumped into the shopping centre only a few weeks ago and she had said, I will do anything. I'll be the Hannah that gives my child to the Lord. I will dedicate him to the Lord. She's never been back in church since she got pregnant. I'm sorry, but this breaks my heart. This is the hardest thing I have to go through with you. Is that you asked me to pray. You ask God for the desires and the goals of your heart and you get them. And where are you? You can't come back and say thank you to your Savior that has blown your mind with the biggest thing that you could think of. Don't do it. I have even at times got before the Lord and said, Lord, I actually sometimes wish they'd never got that permanent residency or they'd never got that home, because if they gain the whole world and they lose you, what was it for? If they stand before you and say, God, look at all that I've accumulated, or look at all the children that I've had, or look at this guy that I got, and they lost you, what was it worth? So I put a disclaimer today. I ask you, will you be in the house of God if he gives you the goals and the dreams of your heart? Will you be the one that's standing here saying, thank you, Jesus. You have blown my mind. You are truly my Lord. You exceed my expectations. On your chairs today, you will find a little form. We're going to stand in a moment and we're going to pray over this form, even though it's empty. And in your time of being with God alone this week, I'd love you to write down some goals that you have for 2018. And again, these may take you a decade. Do you know when we started the church, we started a missions program in 1999. And I've still got the card in my office on my pin-up board. And all Pastor Nigel and I could afford at that time is we were so poor, we could only afford giving $10 a week to missions. You know, I've still got that on my pin-up board. Nigel and I give so much more to that now. But that's all we could do. But I look back on that and think that's where we started. Where are you going to start, church? One day in 2028, you may be putting this up. This might be on your notice board and you're going, oh my gosh, is that all I ask God for? Wow. What's a spiritual goal today? What do I mean by that? Maybe it's you just need to start a discipline of getting up and praying to God every day. Or maybe you're saying, I'm going to commit to reading a verse a day. What's a character goal? Maybe it's you've got an anger situation and your wife's been saying you need to nail that sucker. You're too angry. Or maybe it's today you're struggling with areas of your character. What about in a relationship? Maybe it's a relationship where you go, you know what, I can set a goal, but then I want you to measure it. What does that mean? Maybe it means ringing that person or Financial goal. What's a goal financially? Is it a savings plan? What's a career goal, a job goal, a study goal? What about a health goal? Maybe today it's like me who's put on too, you know, extra weight and just wants to get that off. Maybe it's starting on the treadmill or going for a walk or taking some vitamins. What, just do, write it down. And other goals. Maybe it's something else, a house, a whatever. I don't know. Going, some single parents here, I want you to go on holiday. There are parents, single parents here or families that are struggling. You've not had a holiday in a decade. You haven't had a holiday. That's a good goal. God wants you to have a lovely holiday. I'm talking about Europe, you know, for 28 days, but, you know, just a holiday. Put it down and then pray over it. And, you know, you may be saying to me, Andrew, I'm at a season of my life where I've pretty much got everything. I'll give you some goals. Some of you are retired or semi-retired or financially secure. Why don't you challenge yourself financially this year? Why don't you say, I'm going to double what I want to give to missions this year? Do something to stretch your faith. Every one of us should have goals that we're working towards. Would you stand and I want to pray over this. Father God, right now, right here. Oh, Jesus. Every person in this room, I ask through your Holy Spirit that we would start to think and dream bigger. Holy Spirit, these aren't grandiose plans that we've got, but these are Spirit-led dreams and goals. These are for your glory. Oh God, I pray that for every person. Lord, you know that a year ago, I was praying for something that was just impossible, and you did it, and you took my breath away. God, I pray every person here at the end of the year, even if it's just nailing that issue of character or believing again to dream for dreams that have been just lost, I pray that every person here will be able to say at the end of 2018, Jesus, you took my breath away. And every one of us will be standing here with our hands raised, giving you glory, saying thank you. You are truly my Lord. God, I pray that these are anointed. Oh God, the presence and the power of Christ to be all over it. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.